Good morning. I'm really excited to be here today because I get to use this fancy mic. That's really... Anyways, my name again is Isabel. I am the ministry leader at Celebrate Recovery. Tim called me up and asked me to come and share this morning, which is a privilege and an honor, so thanks, Tim. So before I share my message and introduce Veronica again, I want to share with you what I learned and what I heard. I went to a conference, a Global Awakening Jesus 18 conference in Orlando, Florida, just before Christmas last year. There was about 7,000 people around the world that came, and I was a part of that conference. And I believe that I'm supposed to share with you some of the things that were shared at that conference. So that's what I'm going to do first, and then I'll get into my message. God hates the devil because of his lies. The devil is the father of lies. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus wants to fill your mind with his mind. Do not despise the chastening of the Lord, Hebrews 12, 5 to 6. Thanks, Adam. My sons or daughters, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the ones he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son and daughter. Stop sinning and compromising God's word. God is a God of judgment. Please don't forget that. Do not live by your feelings. You cannot have peace with God if you are outside of his covenant. You will one day stand before God. You will answer for all the people you deceived with your sin life. God says your first priority after you get saved is to clean out your mind. And that's what we do at Celebrate Recovery. We need to be separate from the world. Jesus didn't die so you could feel good. He died to transform you. We as a church are consumed with us, and that's not so good. We must have passion to worship God and passion for his presence. No matter what you're going through, do not let the doctors tell you a bad report. You must believe the promises of God. It's time for you to live at a greater level with the Lord. The unsaved and wounded need to know him, and they're going to know him through us. We need the Holy Spirit. It is not an option. God does not change. We are the ones that need to change. We are to worship the Lord, not sing songs. The way Jesus is known is through us. We need to abide in the vine. Who is the vine? That's Jesus. John 15, 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If you want to bear fruit, you must abide in him. We need fresh oil so we don't get prickly and depressed. You need to die to self. He didn't say, deny the devil and pick up your cross and follow me. It says, deny yourself and follow me. Don't read so many books that you ignore the Bible. Nothing is more important than you being with God every day. We have two responsibilities. One is to seek and save the lost, be fishers of men, and the other is disciple them. Two responsibilities. Jesus defeated the devil with the word. We must know the word. Job 22:28. You shall decree a thing, and it shall be established for you, and the light of God's favor shall shine upon your ways. Do not neglect the word of God. It is time to teach people how to surrender to Jesus. Those are just words. Just let me add something there, because it's really the most difficult thing that you have to go through is how to surrender into Jesus. But we can do it. If you want to be free, you must lay down all of your life. When you lay down your life, things will begin to change. God is looking for people who will not be ashamed of him. Stop thinking about your issues. Stop worrying about yourself and think on Jesus. Strip away anything and everything that stops you from being with him. Christianity is not about you. It's about Jesus. You need to immediately deal with your daily trouble, because if you don't, days turn into weeks, weeks turn into months, and months turn into years. And bam, a stronghold develops and it opens the door for the devil to influence you in a negative way. Don't deny the hurt. You must take it to Jesus. God is not looking for leaders. He's looking for followers and lovers. Every meeting where we gather, we must make room for the Holy Spirit to come and be with us. Now my message. God wants to heal every broken place in your soul so you can thrive in your purpose and be a disciple. God wants to heal every broken place in your soul so you can get in your purpose and disciple people. Most of us here are struggling with something, but we don't have to. What I've experienced in the 10 years that I've been at Celebrate Recovery is that most people want to come in and they want to deal with their symptom. The symptom: I feel needy. I'm lonely. I feel anxious today. I feel depressed. Can you take that away? And what we need to be really doing is asking God to heal us from the why. Why are we feeling needy? Why do we feel anxious today? Joyce Meyer says it the best. She says, learning to understand the root of your behaviors is vital to changing them. We should be asking the Holy Spirit questions like this. When did my anxiety and my neediness first begin in my life? Is there something about that event or that time period in my life that I haven't really dealt with, that the enemy is still able to use against me? Holy Spirit, what do I need to know about that event? Holy Spirit, why do I look at porn? Holy Spirit, what am I getting out of that? What lie has the devil told me that's convinced me that using porn is okay? Holy Spirit, why do I isolate from people? What am I really afraid of? Now, I could go on and on and on, but these are the questions that we work with the people that come to Celebrate Recovery. Yes, of course we want the symptoms to go away, and they will go away when you deal with the why you're having those feelings in the first place, and we will help you with that. The Holy Spirit has all the answers, and Jesus is the one who will heal and deliver you from your stuff, only if you let him. Continually ask yourself, when you are struggling, what am I learning? And at the same time, ask him, what is it you want to teach me, Lord? The devil uses all your sexual sin, your traumatic events, your hatred, your fear, your witchcraft encounters. Yes, I said witchcraft encounters. And your family history to make you believe a lie so he can control you. It sounds simple, but he's done an amazing job. Satan will constantly lead us into situations and circumstances that mirror our unresolved traumatic experiences, exposing us to more harassment by his spirits until we heal the wound. Satan will constantly lead us into situations and circumstances that mirror our unresolved traumatic experiences, exposing us to more harassment by his spirits until we heal the wound. The permanent answer does not lie in binding the evil spirit, but in dealing with the stronghold thinking in us that gives these demons an opportunity to assault our souls in the first place. The mistake many believers make is we get sidetracked into studying the devil when we should be keeping our minds on Jesus, on his ways, on his word, and most importantly, seeking his presence. But I assure you, if you allow the Holy Spirit to go deep into your soul and take out the stronghold that has been established, and you renew your mind, you will be delivered and you will see your issues go away. 3 John 1:2 talks about the fact that we are connected with our health and our prosperity. And it says that I pray that you will prosper and be in health just as your soul prospers. So my words of encouragement to you this morning is that God wants you well, and that he is telling us right here, right now, in this scripture, how to do that. He says, heal your soul. And your soul is your mind, will, and your emotions. Okay? God says that my people are perishing for lack of knowledge. So I'm going to give you 5 truths this morning. I could give you many more. Number 1, Jesus has already done everything for you. Through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, our sins are forgiven. We are healed in our bodies. We are delivered from our despair. And we are given financial prosperity and eternal life. All the elements for your healing have already been established. Now you need to walk, learn to walk into them, apply them to your life, and allow the Holy Spirit to restore and heal you. That's what we do at Celebrate Recovery. We help you do that. Number 2, we have been given dominion over everything. You can find that truth in Genesis 1:28. Then God blessed them and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over everything that's living that moves on the earth." So God has given us dominion. Number 3, we must know that we have authority over the devil. So when the spirit of fear comes on you, okay, just think about it standing there and just speak to it. Spirit of fear, I command you to leave in the name of Jesus. It'll go. Now, how come it keeps coming back? It's because you haven't dealt with the wound. But you can still cast it out. You can keep casting it out. But it'll keep coming back until you deal with it. God has given us the authority to cast out demons, and that is found in Luke 10:19. I give thee the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And by any means, nothing will hurt you. Number 4, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me. And the last one, he who is in you is greater than he in the world. We must have faith and believe these things. I just gave you 5, but we must start to believe what's in the word. There are many reasons we are not healed. I've put 4 of them on the screen. Our lack of faith is what the Bible says is a problem. Our lack of intimacy with Jesus is a problem. Our lack of hearing his voice is a problem, and our lack of knowing God's word is a problem. There is no formula or program in the Bible. It's interesting, I run a program, isn't it? There is no microwave version. There's no, I can finish 12 steps and get better. What we do at Celebrate Recovery is we're constantly steering people into a relationship with Jesus. And we use the steps and we use the things that we know to help people. We try to create a safe place where people can heal and they can surrender. I used to go to church all the time and sit at the back. Hi, everybody at the back. For years, because I thought I was the only one struggling, right? Nobody ever talked about their problems in church, so for about 15 years, I thought I was the only one that ever had a panic attack or felt angry or depressed or sad or bitter or whatever. And I used to come to church thinking, will somebody please tell me what to do? So I'm going to give you some things to do. So hopefully you got your pens and paper. Okay. Number 1, you must stop denying that you are struggling in your life and realize that you need Jesus and the Holy Spirit's help. Paul knew this to be true for himself. And this is what Paul said in Romans 7:15. He says, "For what am I doing? I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that's what I do." So many of us are doing things we hate, but we still do them. So don't feel so bad, because Apostle Paul felt the same way. And then Paul goes on to say in verse 18, "I know that nothing good lives in me that is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out." Paul knew something was wrong inside. It's comforting to know he made it into the Bible. So don't worry, okay? But you got to come out of denial. Number 2, the thing you can do. You can put on, Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the whole armor of God every day. I know that many of you have seen this before, but maybe there's some new people here that have never seen this before. And the Bible talks about 6 pieces of armor that he wants us to put on every day. So you should pray over yourself. He said, put on the helmet of the truth and the breastplate of righteousness. You need something to guard your mind, so put on the helmet of salvation. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and put up the shield of faith and grab your sword, which is God's word. Do that every day. And the last thing that Paul says we need to do is found in verse 18. He It says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So pray in the Spirit. So number three is pray in the Spirit. Praying in the tongue should be your first language. I'm not going to get into it because it's a whole other sermon. The next point I want to make is, are you seeking God for something, or are you seeking God to be with him? If you never got what you want from God, would you still want to be with him? Are you seeking God for something, or are you seeking God to be with him? And I think most of us have had made this mistake, right? And so the next point that I want to make that's really important is we need to be in God's presence. Psalm 91:1 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide, rest under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 9 to 11 says that some of the good things that will happen if we dwell in the secret place. It says, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you and guard you and protect you in all your ways. Being in the presence of God is very important. The dwelling place is not referring to an actual tent or tabernacle in which we will hide from physical enemies. It is speaking of the state of peace God gives us in the midst of trials and attacks. Notice that he does not invite us to visit. The promise is to those who dwell there. God invites us to pack up and move to his secret place. To do so, we must walk away from the clamor and enticements of the world. We must be willing to quiet our hearts before him and allow him and allow him and allow him to investigate those inner recesses that we will only reveal to him. Secret places imply honesty and truth. We cannot join God in a secret place unless we are willing to be transparent and honest with him. One of the keys of getting into his presence is found in Isaiah 40:29-31. It says, he gives power to the weak. Isn't that exciting? Because we were all weak. To those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. We need to learn to wait when we're in the presence of God. So then it goes on to say, well, how do we wait? Psalm 46:10 tells us, be still and know that I am God. Be still for the Lord, and he will manifest himself when we are still. So how else should we wait? The Bible says we are to wait with patience. See, I believe when God was giving out all the gifts in heaven, he somehow missed patience for me. And I keep asking God, why did that? Because patience is really something that we live in this fast world of microwavable, let's do everything quick, right? So we're in his presence. He's telling us to wait. Now he's telling us to be patient. And you can find that in Psalm 40:1-3. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the horrible pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth and a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. That just sounds like my life. When you are done with your prayers in your secret place, in your presence of God, then you must wait. You must learn to be still. You must learn to be patient. And if you're lucky, a new song may come up into you. And if you ever get to that place, you might find yourself even rocking. Anybody ever felt rocking when they're praying in the Holy Spirit? Right. Okay. So it takes practice to be in the presence of God, because we're not used to being still, we're not used to waiting, and we're not used to being patient. So we have to practice that. And we do much of that practicing at Celebrate Recovery. Number five, you need to learn to listen. And obviously that comes along with being in his presence. Call to me and I will answer you. I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. My sheep hear my voice. One of the very common things that happens at Celebrate Recovery is I would say that 98% of the people that come into Celebrate Recovery do not hear the voice of the Lord, but we work on that. That's one of the things we work on when you're paired up with a sponsor, is we work on that. And you can learn to develop being able to hear from the Lord, because we're going to learn to be still, we're going to learn to wait, we're going to learn to be patient. The next thing you can do is you can pray Ephesians 1:17, 18 over yourself every day. You can pray this over your loved ones as well, that the God of your Father, of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you and your loved ones the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, and that the eyes of your understanding and the eyes of your loved ones' understanding will be enlightened, will be opened, that you may know the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Pray that over yourself every day and over your children. I pray that over my children. Number 7, you have to take every thought captive. Gloria Copeland said you can't combat thoughts with thoughts. You combat thoughts with words. So how do you do that? Well, the Bible says to take every thought captive. The question is, how do you do that? It's hard work. It's hard work. I'll give you 2 ways of doing it. There's many. The first thing you can do, so when a bad thought comes in your head, anybody ever had a bad thought, negative thought in their head? Right? We've all had that stuff, right? Right? Just before you're going somewhere, doing something, right? You're going in for a meeting with your boss, right? Something's going wrong with your marriage, right? Something is happening. So immediately you can start praying in tongues. Immediately. Out loud. Okay? And the next thing you can do is speak God's word over yourself. Out loud. So don't combat. When you want to hold every thought captive, don't do that with another thought. You have to speak it. And if you can't do that, we teach people at Celebrate Recovery to put their decrees on their phone, and they play it in the car. You just press play and plays until you get stronger and stronger. You're going to hear Veronica's decree later on when she does her testimony. So the next point, stop believing the lie that the devil keeps telling you. You need to know who is talking to you. Is it the devil or is it Jesus? Who is it? Sometimes we don't really know. So you have to start to recognize, is this a kind, loving, encouraging thought? If it's not, then you need to rebuke it. The next thing you can do, and I always give homework out to my people at Celebrate Recovery, so here's your homework. I don't see anybody writing. No. You need to look up Fear Not scriptures. I saw that, Sharon. I saw that, Donna. I saw that, you guys. Okay, look up Fear Not scriptures. I put up a couple up there. I'm not going to read them, but you can. There's a million. Okay. It appears that the number one reason that women come in to the Celebrate Recovery is because of anxiety and sexual abuse. And for men, it's addictions, pornography. You must know some Fear Not scriptures. Next point. We need to learn to be with one another. Do you know that there's 59 times in the New Testament where it says one another? Confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. Forgive one another. Bear one another's burdens. Tolerate one another. Encourage and build up one another. Do not judge one another. We need to learn to do these things. Next thing you need to do, and I put the scripture up here, it's Ephesians 4:22 to 24. I'm not going to read it. But what it talks about is, is that, excuse me, or part of our recovery is going to come from the fact that you're going to have to do it. It says in that scripture that you have to take off the old man and you have to put on the new man. I just want to tell you a little story about Jesse Duplantis. Anybody know Jesse Duplantis? He's a world evangelist and prophet. He's kind of a funny guy. I actually really like him a lot. He was taking a friend to a car lot to buy a car, and he brought along his wife at the time. And he got into a real argument with the car salesman because the car salesman wasn't dickering and lowering the price. And so Jesse, of course, being a good preacher and Christian man, he started raising his voice and yelling vehemently at the salesman, whom his wife then stopped him and said, Jesse, does this man know that you're a pastor? So Jesse turns to his wife and says, what are you telling her that for? So immediately he realized that he was out of line. and that he shouldn't have been speaking harshly and as directly to this the car salesman. So within a very few minutes, they agreed on a price, and Jesse got home and went into his secret place and spoke to the Lord, and Jesse said, like, Lord, like, you know, take this from me. Like, I don't like this. It's embarrassing. And the Lord said to him, Jesse, I never gave it to you in the first place. I think that's a lot of us, right? So we have to learn to present our own bodies. We have to learn how to renew our minds. We have to learn how to not conform to this world. These are things that we have to learn to do. And so sometimes we want to put the responsibility on the Holy Spirit. We can't do that. We must learn to endure. We must care less what people say about us and to us. We must avoid spending time with people who are engaged in the very practices we're asking God to deliver us from. And the last scripture that's going to go up on the screen, which I recommend, that another recommendation, is Matthew 16:19. It says, I give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You can be free from your emotional addictive behaviors. The most basic binding and loosing prayers can start this process. When we come into agreement with God in our prayers and bind on earth that which he has already predetermined in his will to be bound in heaven, it shall be done and manifested on earth. So you can bind your mind to the mind of Christ. You can bind your mind to the truth of God's word. You can bind your mind to the will of God for your life. And you can loose wrong thinking, wrong behaviors, negative patterns, stronghold thinking. You can loose vows, things that were cursed over you. Very powerful scripture. There's many books on that as well. So now I just want to talk to you about your testimony, and then we're going to ask Veronica to come up. The Bible tells us in Revelation 12:11 that we will overcome the devil by the word, blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We work very hard at our testimonies at Celebrate Recovery, because what we want to do is make sure we glorify God and not give the enemy too much credit for all the bad things that he's done to us. And when Jesus healed the demon-possessed man of the spirit of Legion in Mark chapter 5, Jesus told this man, he said, there's two things. He says, go tell people what happened and tell them what great things, I'm sorry, and tell them about the compassion I have for them. Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. Our testimony is really, really important. So without any further ado, I'm going to ask Veronica to please come up and share her testimony, and then I'm going to come up after that and close the meeting. So please welcome Veronica.
Can everybody hear me? Good day. Hoi anamigu te unikau nama piuning ni nagling nilu. Thank you, Lord God, that I can give testimony of your goodness and your great love. And I also want to thank, on behalf of the leaders here, thank you, Isabel, for your obedience to God, your ongoing commitment, and the love for the people, the discipling us all. I think without you, I don't think I would be standing here. Thank you. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ who struggled with alcohol addiction, binge drinking, grief, depression, low self-esteem, codependency, perfectionism, as well as abandonment and rejection issues. I've been raped twice. I was also suicidal twice in my life. I was born in Chesterfield Inlet, Nunavut. My parents moved to Rankin Inlet when I was a baby. Just a month after I turned a year old, my father drowned in sea ice. As well, many of my close relatives died young from either sickness or suicide. Mom remarried a year later when I was 2 years old, and from that I had three sisters and four brothers. One sister passed away when she was only 25 years old. My sister is schizophrenic, and one of the younger is an adopted. And I come from a people that love to adopt, and that's where, you know, I'm going to share something because this is something that that really I had difficulty with. While growing up, I experienced trauma from verbal, physical, emotional, and sexual abuses from my stepfather. Whenever he drank, he would violently drag me out of bed, physically assault me, and essentially yell at me that I'm not his child. Then he would kick me out of the house. It only took place in the middle of the nights, some including winter nights where it goes down to minus 65. Sometimes I left with not enough clothing. Some days he would glare at me with so much hate, and occasionally when no one was around, he would sexually molest me. By the time I was 14 years old, most of the abuse had stopped. I was spending most of my time in Yellowknife at the residential school where I felt safe and secure. And Dad, having been diagnosed with schizophrenia, was on medication. However, as with any other family, I had squabbles with my siblings, and most times my parents took their side. But mind you, we had some happy moments too. Although I knew they loved me, Mom demanded perfection from me. Two of her sons were her favorites, and they could do no wrong. If I talked back or upset her in any way, I got berated or yelled at or slapped in the face. Sometimes during Dad's violent episodes, she would run away alone, which left me as a young child to deal with. I learned later that both Mom and Dad were also traumatized from abuses by their stepfathers. I have a wonderful, loving husband going on 38 years, three beautiful children, and six gorgeous grandchildren. But before that, I looked for love in all the wrong places. I had an abortion after an affair with a married man. I held parties that involved a lot of drinking, wanting to be accepted badly with the wrong crowd. I slowly became a functioning alcoholic after our children grew up. I then became a nightly binge drinker by the time we moved here in 2011. I tried quitting one day. If that was successful, then I would go for 2 days. Then 3 days, but I couldn't stop. How I wanted to stop. In the fall of 2013, I started coming to church here, and I noticed immediately the Celebrate Recovery pamphlets on display and took one home. 2 years later, I finally admitted I needed help. I was tired of waking up each morning hungover, not knowing what had happened the night before. I would beat myself up, full of shame. I did it again. So on December 29, 2015, I attended my first Celebrate Recovery meeting. I committed 110% of myself to the program, got a wonderful, wise sponsor. Thank you, John. And with her guidance, I was able to deal with my past hurts, traumas, unforgiveness. I was still binge drinking. 6 months into the program, while on holidays, I realized I was not all that bad that I thought to be when I was reviewing my exercise on renewing my mind. That is when the Holy Spirit spoke to me. All you need is to feel the love of your parents. After 6 months of hard work and a lot of tears, I finally got the breakthrough I needed when my sponsor told me the exact words the Holy Spirit had spoken to me 2 months before. On the morning of August 21, 2016, God miraculously delivered me by taking away my desire for alcohol completely after I repented to him. praise God because now, like, every time I smell alcohol, I just want to puke. Prayers. But I still needed a lot of healing and restoration to fully trust God, to believe that He truly loves me and that I am worthy of His love. I continued on with CR, drinking in all the information. It's no pun intended. And with the help from my sponsor, I learned different types of prayers, how to break curses and soul ties. I learned that I have to forgive all those who had hurt me and to make amends to those whom I had hurt or wronged. I also learned to forgive God and myself. He patiently and lovingly guided me as He spoke to me audibly with words that I would look up and research, such as, "Seek my face. Has anyone seen the face of God?" Or He would quicken my spirit with certain Bible verses on different occasions, such as Joshua 1:7. "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go." Joshua 1:8. "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." And Isaiah 61. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you." And when I read my journal, I could see clearly that He was directing my path. He was ordering my steps. I was starting to experience God's amazing, unconditional, and unfailing love for me with verses that spoke of His love. Through wise assignments given by Isabel, and also by watching the late Jack Frost sermon, I learned to experience about experiencing God's love. He also gave me dreams that foretold of His plans for me. I had a divine encounter with Him while I was waiting at a doctor's office the afternoon of July 10, 2017. He said, "I want to be your father." There was no messenger, such as an angel or a prophet or another Christian, but He personally came to me. I felt so much love, and it was difficult. To let everyone know around, I was crying and sobbing. God then explained, "The reason I chose you to be a girl as a firstborn is because a man could not have withstood the abuse you endured. I totally understood Him because in my culture, a lot of our young men continue to commit suicide. Please pray for our young men's protection. Because of Celebrate Recovery, I'm continuing to experience Abba's unconditional and unfailing love, knowing that He takes great delight in me as His child, as His daughter, that He wants the very best for me. Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." He wants me to ask Him for great and unsearchable things that I do not know of, and that I do not have to worry because He is in control. He gives me far more than what I ask for. For example, I wanted Bible verses to pop out from memory if and when I minister to anyone. But he came back with Isaiah 59:21 and made a covenant with me. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit, who is on you, will not depart from you, and my words that I have put in your mouth will always be on your lips, on the lips of your children, and on the lips of their descendants from this time on and forever, says the Lord. He told me that I don't have to worry about it when the time comes, and that this is a lasting agreement that my children, my grandchildren would also be covered in this covenant. It's what a mighty God we serve. If he had answered my prayer the way I wanted it done, it would have resulted in me becoming prideful and become dependent on myself rather than on him. Before all of this, I couldn't say, "Dear Heavenly Father," or "Dear Father God," like most people. I didn't see him that way. I couldn't. I viewed him as a harsh and judgmental God, distant, mighty, ready to knock you down if you thought you did something bad. But now I can pray, "Dear Heavenly Father," because he is my Father. He is my loving Father. He has removed that hard shell I had cocooned myself in to protect my heart. That hard shell I had created had prevented me from receiving his love and many blessings. I tried and I failed. It was God and God alone who delivered me. Because of him and Celebrate Recovery, I am now 3 years sober, and I have a changed life. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Now, Abba Father said to me back on July 8th, "Too many of my children are not experiencing my love for them. Tell them I want them to experience the fullness of my Father's love, like you are learning how. I want them to experience my love, but many have that hard shell protecting their hearts that is preventing them from receiving it. Their pride, where you may be full of yourself and not able to hear God's voice, and your denial are keeping those shells hard. Allow my Holy Spirit to guide you and work in you. Let your tears soften the shell so that you can receive my love and my many blessings. Many of my children need to experience my unconditional love for them. I am not the harsh and judgmental father like their earthly father was. This is my decree, who I am in Christ. I am God's child, for I am born again of the incorruptible seed of the word of God, which lives and abides forever. I have been redeemed and forgiven of all my sins. I am holy and without blame before him in love. I am born of God, and the evil one cannot touch me. I can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one with my shield of faith. I am far from oppression, and fear does not come near me. I have not been given the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. I have received the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Jesus, the eyes of my understanding being enlightened. I have received the power of the Holy Spirit to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, to cast out demons, to speak with new tongues. I have power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, for without him I can do nothing. I have the mind of Christ. The Spirit of God teaches me spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. And I show forth praises of God who has called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. The darkness that I had put myself in, the darkness of the cocoon that I had created to protect my heart. I gladly declare that I am part of the chosen generation, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, and peculiar people that have been chosen to show forth God's praises. Glory to God and praise him.
Praise the Lord. Awesome. Well done. I just want to leave you with Exodus chapter 8, 4 verses, and we'll close. The Israelites were slaves in Egypt, and Pharaoh was the guy in charge, and Moses had been exiled. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh and say to him, 'This is what the Lord says, let my people go so that they may worship me. If you refuse to let me go, then go. I will send a plague of frogs on your whole country.'" Verse 8. Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, "Pray to the Lord to take the frogs away from me and my people, and I will let your people go to offer sacrifices to the Lord." So Pharaoh was having some problems, wasn't he? They were in his bed. They were all over the place. Verse 9. Moses replied and said to Pharaoh, "I leave to you the honor of setting the time for me to pray for you and your officials and your people, that you and your houses may be rid of the frogs, except for those that remain in the Nile. I give you the time," he says. "You can set the time." Verse 10. "Tomorrow," Pharaoh says. Moses replied, "It will be as you say, so that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. The frogs will leave you and your homes, your officials and your people, and they will remain only in the Nile." After Moses and Aaron left Pharaoh, Moses cried out to the Lord about the frogs he had brought on Pharaoh. And the Lord said what Moses asked. And the Lord did what Moses asked. The frogs died in the houses, in the courtyards, in the fields. And you say, why did I put that up there? Because here's reality is that Pharaoh had some problems, and he decided that tomorrow, when the Lord says, "I can help you now." So don't be like Pharaoh and wait till tomorrow to deal with the stuff that you know you got to deal with, because God has a plan for each and every one of you, and he wants to heal that broken place in your heart so that you can become what all that God wants for you. So let me close in prayer. Father, please come into our hearts and teach us how to forgive, how to be still, how to be able to be patient so that we can hear your voice, and how to walk with you wherever you call us. Help us to release all those who have hurt us. Please forgive us for our ways in which we have hurt you, Lord, the ways we've hurt ourselves and our others. We turn our sorrows and our anger and our bitterness and all our issues over to you right now, Father. And if there's anything in our souls right now that is not pleasing to you, please reveal it to us so that we can work together and you can heal us and free us from those things, Lord. Thank you for loving me, for being patient with me. Thank you that I'll begin to believe you in all the things that you said about me, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for all the people that are here today. Amen. Amen.